The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now, back to the George Show with George Brockner on News Talk 710, KNUS.
Well, it hasn't been that long of time since I rock and rolled. This is George Brockler back at you here on the 15th Saturday that I've been fortunate to join you on air, having some great conversations on 710 KNUS on a show cryptically named The George Show. We have had some great conversations so far this morning. In that 7 o'clock hour, and 6 o'clock we had a lot of phone calls on this, but in the 7 o'clock hour we were fortunate enough to get to talk with Omar Montgomery from the Aurora chapter of the NAACP. And we are going to have another conversation on this issue of the George Floyd murder out of Minneapolis, as well as sort of what's going on in Denver, from someone who is actually on the ground there and probably knows this issue and what's involved more than most. Proud to have on the phone with me right now, Representative Leslie Herod from Denver. Thank you for coming on, Leslie.
Thanks so much for having me.
Hey, would you do us a favor for folks that don't know? Describe the jurisdiction that you have, your district.
Sure. I'm Leslie Herod. I represent Northeast Denver, House District 8. So Central and Northeast, Park Hill, Five Points, City Park, Uptown.
Now, folks that follow the legislature at all know a couple things. One, you're very influential. Two, you're super quiet. You never speak your mind. I'm kidding. And three, you are a huge voice for a couple different things, including criminal justice reform, social justice, things like that. Now, I had intended, initially when we started chatting earlier in the week, I thought we were going to talk about one of the pieces of legislation that was still kicking around after the COVID shutdown. But really, this has turned into something more, and that is the murder of Mr. Floyd out of Minneapolis on Memorial Day, I think it was, has turned into events that transpired right there in the heart of Denver, right by the place you go to work every day. Can you talk us through what you observed happening?
Yeah, definitely. So I'll say that I went out initially on Thursday to the rally in Denver. It's on the steps of my office. I went down and, saw two different crowds. One had left a bit early to go march down 16th Street Mall. And then the second crowd started to gather at the Capitol in a peaceful rally. About 5 minutes into it, I was out for probably 30 minutes total. Six or seven shots were fired through the crowd. Gunshots were fired through the crowd from on the other side of Broadway. So from down the hill, not someone who was in the crowd. And even one landed inside of the Capitol building.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. So there's definitely a bullet hole in the building, from that. And I will tell you, George, this happened on Thursday at the first 30 minutes into the peaceful rally. And it definitely increased tensions, amongst not only the folks who were protesting, but also the law enforcement officers. And I think we missed that in all the conversations that are happening around what's going on in Denver right now, but we were shot at. We were shot at in peaceful protest, and that kicked it all off.
Do you have any idea or even suspicion as to who would bring a gun to such a thing and then discharge it? I mean, those are two different decisions, right? I'm sure there were other guns in the area, but to pull it out and shoot it at people is ridiculous.
Absolutely. Well, in that same day, you saw a woman, and there's clips of this, drove through the crowd and then went back, turned around and hit a protester intentionally, you saw that video.
Yep.
So I don't know who. I can't say who because they haven't caught the person yet, which is a bit baffling to me because the area where the shots came from, law enforcement was definitely out in full force. And and they couldn't find the person. So I don't know what happened. Initially, we were told he was apprehended. He was not. He or she, excuse me, was not. Yeah. So I can't say the intent, but I do know my feeling is that the intent was to incite a riot and to increase tensions and to escalate, right? There's a lot of people, George, who are out there, who have been out there these past few nights, who are there just to rally in peaceful protests here in Denver. And there are also instigators who are there to start a fight.
Do you, when the things that you've observed there in a place where you work, in a place where you live, do you feel like the criminal aspect of this, that the riot parts that turn into the destruction of Senator Leroy Garcia's truck and the shooting, do you think that these things are overwhelming the message of what was intended in light of what took place in Minneapolis?
I do think it deters from the message. The message is that for far too long, too many of us, African-American, Latino, indigenous people, have been met with unlawful and excessive use of force from law enforcement officers, and it's time to stop. It's time to hold law enforcement officers accountable. And George, you know, we work together a lot and oftentimes on opposite sides of issues, but I think we both respect each other. And I would venture to say you would agree with me that law enforcement should be held accountable
100%.
For wrongdoing.
Absolutely, 100%.
So what I want to do is make sure the laws reflect that.
We could talk about some of those things, but I do want to ask you, for those people that have sort of, and I used this term with Omar Montgomery earlier, for those people that are attempting to, or maybe it's just happened, hijack these otherwise peaceful protests on these important issues, and that engage in these criminal behaviors, whether it's in Denver or Minneapolis or New York or Los Angeles or all the other cities, what do you want to see law enforcement's response to that be, or the government's response to that be?
You know what I want to see? I want to see a community response to that. What I saw yesterday was Tay Anderson led multiple peaceful demonstrations throughout downtown Denver. And what I saw was a lot of men from our community stepping in when they saw protesters or folks, I don't even call them protesters, agitators, trying to rile up the crowd or trying to do some damage to the destruction of property. They came in and circled them and got them out of the situation and reminded folks that they are not us and that is not a part of our message.
What do you think the motivation
is? That is what I want to see happen.
What do you think the motivation is for those agitators, as you described them?
You know, I think that they are also frustrated. I did speak to one myself and tried to de-escalate the situation. And I will tell you, it just comes from, you know, a lifetime of pain. And you could feel the pain and anguish in their hearts. And they just wanted to stop. I will tell you that that they definitely were out for destruction. And, you know, as the night went on and, daylight became darkness, it was much tougher to have that community policing. But that's what I want to see. People are hurting and we need to heal.
Is that explanation that it's this lifetime and cumulative effect of this hurting, some of which I think gets put on them from history itself, right? So if that's the explanation, do you think it's a justification? And that's my way, the DA guy, of asking, shouldn't we find these people and hold them accountable under the law?
I'm sorry, which people are you referring to?
The agitators, the ones who are out to destroy property, and maybe not so much in Denver, but you've seen in other places like the looters and those people that set fire to a building. Should they be held accountable under the law, or is this a different thing?
You know, I just don't want to speak to any specific situation because, as you know, there are multiple sides to every story, even when there is video, as we all know. What I would say is that people who are acting unlawfully, and if folks choose to bring that case forward, then I think that there should be a pathway to justice. But I will also say that law enforcement officers who act inappropriately or use excessive use of force should also be held to that standard.
No doubt. No doubt. I agree with you there. I've tried to read as much as I can on this, watch as much video on this, and the parts that concern me the most are those folks who, far from just explaining, look, this is the source of where this comes from, they want to excuse it. And I don't hear you saying excuse it. I hear you saying
no.
Something less than, hey, let's go vigorously after them. But I hear you saying, yeah, look, if you're engaged in unlawful behavior and that's a case that comes forward to court, we figure out what justice looks like after that. But you're not suggesting that, hey, look, this isn't a situation where we want anyone arrested for their criminal behavior because the context in which it occurs.
Oh, that's, I would say I agree with you on that. But George, let's play this out,
right?
So are we talking about incarcerating thousands of people and having the public, the taxpayers pay for that, knowing that the damages will be recouped by the private insurance companies anyways, and not likely those individuals because they won't have the money to, and we'll end up paying for that as opposed to possibly finding a way for community healing, possibly finding a way for us to come together and say, what is the right course to move forward? Incarceration is not going to change the anger and frustration. Incarceration is not going to ensure that another demonstration and protest and riots like what are happening now don't happen again. Mm-hmm. And quite frankly, George, I don't see the same type of push to ensure that folks are incarcerated and, you know, brought to justice the same way when there's a riot after a Bronco game. There's tons of photos of folks jumping on cars and vandalizing property after a Broncos game, and I just don't hear folks calling for justice for those folks.
I'd be happy to be part of that.
Reports of those people in jail. Well, you've seen them. You've seen those too. We all watch them after the game.
Yeah, but I'm on board with if somebody engages in the criminal destruction of someone else's property, I don't care what the motivation is. I do think that they ought to have a sit down with law enforcement and probably charges. The one thing, though, when you talked about thousands, incarcerating thousands of people, no, and we don't have the ability and the resources to do that. But in terms of finding those people who are either the instigators or maybe the only people that we can identify on video, I'm absolutely committed to the idea that we don't create exceptions for intentionally lawless behavior. I'll give you an example. Leslie Herod could go stand on any street corner anywhere and scream at the top of her lungs about racial inequality and social injustice and criminal. And you can do it all day long. And I would support you in it. But if Leslie Herod, during the process of that, throws a rock through a business window out of whatever historic frustration or personal angst that there is, I don't feel like it's a shrug and like, well, let's figure out why she did it and just address that. I do think we need to have the community conversation. But don't we have to uphold the law? And I'm including police in that, too, like this guy in Minneapolis. Dude needed to be arrested. Dude needed to be charged. He was. But shouldn't we still uphold the law even in these tumultuous times?
Well, the law could look different, George. And one thing I know about you, too, is that you believe and you've seen restorative justice work. So, you know, if it was that type of restorative justice approach, we could work on that together. You know, we know that that actually has better outcomes.
We have restorative justice programs.
That's what I'd like to see. And I know you support them.
I do. They all start, though, with someone being charged. I mean, rarely does restorative justice, at least in our process, because I don't have any authority until that happens, rarely do I have the ability to make something like that happen. But the only other thing that concerns me is the suggestion that, well, look, the shop owner has insurance. And so, therefore, it's not quite the same victimization as it would be if they didn't have insurance. I'm not sure. I'm convinced I don't agree with that, because that insurance company doesn't just print that money out of nowhere. It comes from us. It causes an increased number of an increased rates for you and for me. And my concern is if we do nothing on these kinds of things, that then in the future, we've already set the precedent. I mean, if Chief Pazin does nothing to stop anyone from any lawlessness during these agitations, what do we do next time? Do we next time come in? I don't know.
I'm sorry for interrupting.
No,
I would say that I would not venture to say at all that Chief Pazin has done nothing.
Oh, no. I don't think he has either.
I'm saying there's already paying their debt, and people are being arrested. I have been in close conversations with Chief Pazin as things develop, and you know, there are things happening. There are repercussions that are happening in community around these demonstrations, and again, community is trying our best to keep things safe and to ensure that that at least on our end of things, that things are nonviolent.
If there's anything, right before we let you get the rest of your Saturday back, if there's anything you would tell the folks in Denver who are thinking about coming back out to share their voice or maybe share their agitation, what would it be?
Yeah. Come back in peaceful demonstration and speak your demands. Talk about what you need. Talk about what the community needs. Talk about the killing of George Floyd and so many others and what we're going to do to stop it. But do that as peacefully as possible. We have kids out there and we have families out there, and they should be there demonstrating too, because it's for their future, but let's keep them safe.
I do think this is an important conversation, Representative Herod, and I hope that you'd be willing to come back on in the future. And now we can have the conversations when we have more time about, look, what's the solution? Like, what are the changes in the laws that you want to see and all that other stuff? Would you be willing to do that?
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for making time, and enjoy the rest of your Saturday. That was Representative Leslie Herod out of the northeast portion of Denver, Colorado, at the Capitol when bullets flew and one went into the Capitol. That was a great conversation. Whether you agree or disagree with what Representative Herod said, I just like the fact that she's willing to come on and have this conversation with us. When we come back, a guy you also know well named Andrew Romanoff, he is running for the Democrat nomination for United States Senate to oppose Cory Gardner. He is running against a guy named John Hickenlooper, who we have seen a lot less of than we see Andrew Romanoff. When we come back, George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS.